Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. U.S. President Donald Trump has said that American military special forces have killed Daesh leader Abu Bakr Baghdadi. So far, no proof has been given for the claim, but either way, killing a terrorist, especially Baghdadi, is good for votes in the United States and good for diverting the attention of the American public. But stay with us as we take a look at the reality, not only Baghdadi, but about Daesh and its roots on this debate.
The U.S. Army on Sunday said it had carried out an operation in Syria's northwestern province of Idlib, killing the leader of the Daesh terrorist group. Later in the day, President Donald Trump confirmed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's death.
Last night, the United States brought the world's number one terrorist leader to justice. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead.
Al-Baghdadi came to prominence in 2014 when he announced the creation of a so-called caliphate in areas of Iraq and Syria as Daesh seized large territories in both countries. Daesh, which operated under the names of ISIL or ISIS, is notorious for its numerous atrocities from beheadings and enslaving to systematically raping women and burning prisoners alive. Such crimes were in addition to the terror attacks the group has carried out in many countries. The announcement of al-Baghdadi's death comes as the U.S. president is facing pressure at home for pulling out American troops from Syria amid fears of Daesh resurgence. Some analysts believe that the killing of the Daesh leader is rooted in political motives ahead of next year's presidential election in the U.S.
It's very similar, I think, to what happened during the Obama administration when the Obama administration carried out the killing of the former al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad in Pakistan. And I think that part of it is related to the upcoming elections. I think that Trump might use this to say, look, I'm tough on terrorism.
Trump himself turned the spotlight on such political machinations during his presidential campaign in 2016.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay. He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
Al-Baghdadi's death as the leader of a notorious terror group has hit the headlines and drawn applause. But many believe that the death is not something significant as long as some powers use terrorism as a tool to achieve their political goals.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Michael Springman, author and former American diplomat out of Washington, D.C., and Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer out of San Francisco. Thank you both for being with me. Let's start this off with Scott. Well, Scott, what do you make of Trump's announcement about Baghdadi being killed in general? Okay, well, let me cross over to Michael. It seems we've lost Scott right now. But Michael, I'll throw that question to you. Overall, your perspective, your thoughts on that announcement by Trump.
My thoughts are not good. One, it shows that Trump, like his predecessors in office, think nothing of attempting to assassinate people they don't like. Second, as noted earlier in the program, it's a good chance for Trump to buck up his abysmal approval rating by showing he is tough on terrorism. And the Americans who have no concept of the real world think this is marvelous. He's been praised, in fact, by some of the lesser lights of the world, Israel, the apartheid entity. Netanyahu has been celebratory and very effusive in his remarks to what Trump did. Boris Johnson, who also has his own problems in the United Kingdom, supported that, as well as the French defense minister, Parly, I think is the name. So I think that the whole thing is an effort to continue American policy of terrorism, to hang on to countries it's invaded, and to also, I think, show the world that it's tough on terrorism, which itself has created starting with the recruiting for the Mujahideen in Afghanistan years ago, and continuing with the establishment of Al-Qaeda in Yugoslavia, and the Obama-Clinton attacks on Libya and Syria. So I think that we have to look at what the Americans have done in the past and what they're doing now, and realize that it's basically terrorism is America's foreign policy.
Well, Scott, welcome to the program. I think we lost you in the beginning. Has the United States, in your perspective, done more to stop terror in the region or enhance terror? Okay, we've lost Scott again. This is a back and forth one tonight. Hopefully we will try to reestablish that connection. So it goes back to you, Michael. Your take on that. Do you think that the United States has done more to stop terror in the region or has contributed to enhancing terror?
Well, the latter. It has contributed to terror. It has enhanced terror. It has created terror. I mean, it supposedly opposed the al-Nusra Front, which Baghdadi had started, yet at the same time, they gave money and weapons and support to it. The Americans have worked with the Israelis and the Saudis and the Pakistanis to back to recruit and train and back terrorists operating in countries the United States wants to overthrow. I've gone into that in some detail in my book, Visas for Al-Qaeda. So I think that on balance, the United States simply is a terrorist supporting organization. Mm-hmm. And the whole attitude of the United States towards the Middle East region or Southwest Asia, if you want to call it that, is forget about diplomacy. Let's use the military option and use our military weapons and our soldiers and our 21st century aircraft and missiles to take over the area and to force control of governments we don't like and who act against our interests, supposedly, whatever they might be. So I think on balance, the United States of America is a terrorist state.
What would you, Michael, if you were talking to fellow Americans in the United States, because I'm sure for many Americans, especially those who watch mainstream media in the country, they really believe that their country actually is going after terrorists. They get reports all the time, just like the one that they've received today about the killing of Baghdadi. So on the surface, they think that really the United States is actually fighting against these terrorists when we have many, many reports on the ground from Syria to Iraq and other places that the United States actually came in and bombed from the air and was attacking the forces who were fighting against the terrorists. So how would you explain this? What would you say?
Well, I would tell them that the mainstream media, or as some people call it, the lamestream media, is biased and prejudiced, and they should avoid it. And the only problem is you can't get alternative sources unless you know about RT or Press TV or Mint Press News or some of these other organizations like the Soccer that really tell the real story and go into some analysis of the current situation and why the world is the way it is. To give an example of how biased the mainstream media is, I was at a presentation on Friday, the 25th, at the Russian embassy, and this Dr. Grigoryev went into some detail about the terrorists who were in control of Camp Lukban in the American zone of occupation. And he had pictures of his interviewees, he had statements from them, he had their names. And they talked about how women were prostituting themselves to keep their children alive, to earn food or money for food, and so forth. And the Wall Street Journal reporter on the scene said, well, isn't it true that the Russia and Syria blocked food and medicine from getting into Camp Lukban? So it just shows that the media is biased, and you can't get past it unless you have access to the internet and know what you're looking for.
Right. Well, Scott, hopefully, Scott, let's try one more time. I think I have you this time. Scott, are you with me?
Marzia, and it's an honor to be with you, as always.
I appreciate you being with us, Scott, and sorry for the technicalities. With the creation of Daesh, Scott, the countries of the region have been the biggest losers with the loss of many lives and destruction of major parts of several countries. Who would you say have benefited the most from the creation and the existence of Daesh in the region?
Well, let me just start out by saying, whenever I've been on Press TV, I've always endured to speak the truth, absolutely. And it was because my mother inspired me to speak the truth. And I must say, she passed away on Friday and a great light went out in the world. But
so
I can say that my mother was honored by Press TV, Marzia, and she was honored by you, and she loved seeing our debates. And I think my mother really had an awakening. And though she was Scottish, which means she was somewhat advanced in her intellect compared to some of the Americans I've met, she had a love for what Iran did and what I experienced in my travels to Iran. And I say that just because I think the mothers of this war in the Middle East and the mothers of America, they're the ones who've lost the most to the tragedy of ISIS, to the warmongering savagery, to the rapes, to the pillages, to the theft of the natural resources of Syria. The mothers have really suffered. So I just wanted to dedicate this to my mother, who was the source and spirit of truth that I always spoke out and I always tried to champion. And I will continue that. And I think the more we listen to our mothers when it comes to what are the purposes of these wars, what are we winning and what are we losing? It's profound, the wisdom that women and particularly mothers have, because they are about peace and stability and truth and love and hope. They are not about war. They are not about confiscation of natural resources. They are not about global conquests. They are not about military juggernauts of hegemony control. Mothers are about the safety of their children and the formation of families and their grandchildren. And we have lost that in America. We have traded that for the cold, dead pottage of lust and oil and power and somehow some global delusion of being the controllers and the policemen and the high priests of the world. So I think we really, for me personally, in the passing of my mother, it's awakened in me a renewed spirit to attack the warmongers, to expose the liars in the military-industrial complex and the fools that have been living off the blood of war and the ashes of destruction. And this is a time really to rise up and say, if we listen to the forces that want peace and stability, to our mothers who are the formation of families, the bridges of community, we see that the way forward is to cease all of these hostilities. And I think with the Americans claiming to remove themselves from Syria, that's a good start. And I think people like Tulsi Gabbard who have said that are positioning themselves to win the American election, unless Donald Trump listens to Tulsi Gabbard or perhaps makes her part of his team. I think he's destined to lose if he continues this warmongering agenda, which I hope he doesn't. But okay, those who created ISIS, the Israelis, the Saudi Arabian Wahhabists, Turkey even had a role in that before it learned that it was going to lose and turned its tail and joined the agreement of President Putin. I think the greatest beneficiaries of this war have been the builders of missiles, the builders of bullets, the Shell and Chevron and BP oil companies that have made a living off of raping and pillaging the oil resources of Syria. I think that's all come to an end because President Putin and Rouhani and Zarif and Soleimani and the other leaders have stepped in and fought this war valiantly on the side of Syria. They've pushed out the Wahhabists, they've pushed out the Zionists under Netanyahu, and they have pushed Turkey back to recognize that there will not be any more of these wars of conquest.
Okay,
those days
Scott.
Are open.
Okay. And of course, let me give you Press TV's condolences, too, on the loss of your mother. And may God bless her soul, Scott. Well, continuing, Michael, with this discussion, when we look at the whole situation now, Scott has just talked about the role that Saudi Arabia and also Israel has played in this creation of Daesh. But Daesh's role was to inflict terror and fear throughout the region. Now, if Syria, Iraq, Hezbollah, and Iran would not have been involved in actually fighting against Daesh, do you think that the terror group would still be strong today in the region?
I don't think so. I think they did a good job of beating it down despite the American backing and the Israeli and the Saudi backing. But I think the whole point of creating Daesh and Al-Qaeda and ISIS or whatever you want to call the current incarnation of the evil ones, it's basically, it gives the excuse for the Americans to say, we have to protect you. We have a responsibility to protect you from all these bad people, which, by the way, we are supporting and working with our supposed allies in arming and training. So therefore, we have a reason to be in your country with our tanks and our aircraft and our missiles. So I think that the people who really benefit from terrorism is the United States and the politicians who support this. People like Nancy Pelosi, who goes to meet with Israeli and Jordanian leaders to say that, well, we really need American soldiers in Syria. Well, we don't need them. We don't need them shipped over to Iraq either. And the whole point is, if the United States were to withdraw from the region to stop stirring the pot, to stop attempting to overthrow governments, we wouldn't have the issues that we have today.
Well, Michael, you just said that you think that it's the United States that benefits from terrorism. So would you say then that the United States itself is a terrorist entity if it benefits from terrorism?
I think so. I think the United States has trained a number of these people. They brought them to American military camps, mostly on the East Coast at the time of the Afghan war against the Soviets. The United States has pumped money into these people. The United States just gave $4.5 million to the White Helmets, a known terrorist group. And the whole issue is, they say, if you see something, say something. Well, I see that the United States is acting like a terrorist organization, and I say it.
Well, Michael, what does it all mean? Many people who are looking at this and hearing this, as far as the United States and basically being aligned, if not being the terrorist entity itself, I guess the question of the day is why, the bottom line, because as we know, terrorism backfires and everyone at the end of the day is affected. We saw so many events take place throughout the world since the creation of Daesh and al-Nusra. So in your perspective, Scott, how are these policies by the United States beneficial for the United States and its people? And if they're not, why is Washington involved in supporting terrorism?
Well, this goes back to the 9/11 wars, of course. This goes back to Tim Osman, who was the real Osama bin Laden. Tim Osman was a CIA asset, as Michael knows, and he was trained in the United States. I know that. I work with CIA. I work with USAID. I work with State Department. I work with the military. I was a military officer. I had a top secret SCI clearance. I was in the Bush administration. So I walked and worked in all of these areas, and I know what I'm talking about. And it's very sad that the American patriotism and Golden Eagle and Captain America propaganda sloganeering has been transformed into a weaponized psychological warfare tactic where young men are lured into going to fight for these mercenary wars, and now we're finding out escorting oil thievery. And a lot of soldiers are killing themselves over the depression that this causes because they originally joined to fight and defend their families. And let's just say it, their mothers, their wives, their daughters, their sisters, the women in their family. That's the manly spirit is awoken to be a warrior for that defense. And we've discovered all of that has been adulterated by these professionals like Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and John Bolton. John Bolton never served in the military, yet we've had our military pushed in this direction of becoming terrorists by aiding and abetting terrorists. And I also saw that in my own report, Shell Game, when I discovered Hillary Clinton financing terrorism through Union Bank of Switzerland and all of her Department of Justice cronies at the State Department. I saw it all over the place. So you're right, Marzia, when you say if America is aiding and abetting terrorism, it's becoming, against the will of the American people, a terrorist state. And I think this is what is causing America to go into a civil war. 70% of Americans see a civil war already happening, and it's because they are not in agreement with these wars in the Middle East. They voted for Trump to get us out. If he doesn't get us out, if he betrays that promise, he'll be a dead man walking politically and perhaps physically. But I think the American people have woken up, and they're saying, stop this now. Now, Okay. Let me just say, the whole Baghdadi thing is a complete domestic policy advertisement for Trump's reelection. I don't think it's happened. The Russians have said it hasn't happened. I think it's all pageantry. I think it's another invention similar to what they did with Osama bin Laden. It's meant for domestic consumption so the American people can have a sense of closure. But that can be a good thing because it sets the stage for Trump to turn and begin working and renewing its relationship with President Putin and through Putin, Iran. I want President Trump to renew his relationship for good, for harmony, for peace with Iran, with Russia, with the neighbors in these regions, because that is what Americans want. And specifically, again, it comes back to these wars have devastated families, devastated the region, and it's time to listen to, once again, our mothers and the women in society who have been the ones who've lost so much, Marzia. Mm-hmm. It is not the men who were thrown into rape camps or burned alive. It is the poor women, and specifically the Yazidis and the Shia.
Indeed, indeed. And with that, so sorry to interrupt you, but we're out of time. I appreciate you being with us. Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer out of San Francisco, and Michael Springman, author and former American diplomat out of Washington, D.C. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I thank you on behalf of myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Hope to see all of you guys next time.